And this is KFI AM 640 Handle and the Morning Crew, October 17th on a Friday. Coming up at 8 o'clock this morning, about an hour from now. If you're a nurse, we want to hear from you. I do. Very rarely do we ever take phone calls on the show, but this one, this topic I think is important because a lot of it has to do with, we're talking about the Ebola scare, a lot of it has to do with nurses and how there is a big disconnect between how nurses feel in terms of preparedness for Ebola and the administration and what the CDC is saying. And it's the nurses who are on the front lines. It's not Tom Frieden who is going to be dealing with any of these patients. So that's coming up at 8 o'clock. In the meantime, the world of television is moving at an insane rate. A couple days ago, HBO said it would start an internet-only service. And then CBS announced yesterday that it's going to start its own subscription streaming service, which lets people watch its live programming and thousands of current and past shows on demand, just like all the other internet broadcast facilities, I guess. Well, it's not broadcasting anymore. Now it's narrowcasting, and it goes down a specific pipeline, and that is the internet, the bandwidth that Netflix or whoever, Hulu Plus, et cetera, has. And isn't it kind of interesting that you've got a network that's now going into a way of transmitting that is fighting the networks? They're joining the enemy. They're going to the other side. It's like Dodger players going and playing for the Giants. Hey, sports reference. Hoffman, did you hear that?
I did.
And a decent for sports reference, too, by the way.
I wouldn't know about that.
Yeah, no, not bad. Come on. You know, I don't hear that song very often, but I hear it a lot more than I hear Go Dodgers or Dodger Blue. Anyway, back we go to what CBS is doing and joining the web. Because more and more people are cutting out the cable with all the stations and going to these premium paid channels on their own. For example, Netflix. I am a huge Netflix fan. We have Netflix. We also have Roku. And I also have cable. I mean, I have all three. But the cable thing is I go through my modem at work at home. And also it's a platform for a couple things at home, like my security system. And I don't understand any of that, by the way. It's what they tell me. All I do is write the checks. But I effectively watch Netflix. Now, I do watch broadcast television for the news every night, but that's going away because you watch that these internet-only offerings are going to be carrying that, too. I don't know where the broadcast companies are going to be. I really don't. It's like newspapers that went to the internet, New York Times, L.A. Times Now, the major newspapers, because holding that newspaper is going to disappear. It's all going to be internet-based. And who do you think fought the internet more than any other group? Newspapers, publishers. Tell you screaming about this internet stuff also are textbook publishers. You know how much a textbook costs? Stunned. My daughter at the university, so she goes, Dad, I have to buy a textbook, a philosophy textbook or whatever, a statistics textbook. She's taking stats. And she said, and I go, okay, go ahead and buy it. $140 for a book. And when it hits the internet, what do you think? It's going to be a lot less. In any case, it's moving the other way. Moonves, Leslie Moonves, who is chief executive of CBS, said this is an important part of our future. I never imagine him ever saying that. Our job is to do the best content we can and let people enjoy it in whatever way they want. Really? Now you say that? The world is heading in that direction. Good for you for figuring that out way after Netflix and the other companies did their thing. Amazon has its own channel. And Amazon, if you have Amazon Plus, which we do, there's some real bargains. Netflix does what it does for $8 a month. It's the biggest bargain I've ever seen in my life. They could charge twice that, and I would think it's the biggest bargain I've ever had in my life. Oh, you know, I have a question real quick. And that has to do with a show that I'm watching now and it's called The Nick. I don't know if you've seen that.
The one that Money told you about.
Yes, the one that Money told me about, which I instantly started watching last night. And it was it's a great thing. It's about a drug addict doctor who is head of a hospital, the Knickerbocker Hospital in New York, in the early 1900s. It's tremendous. He is such a bastard. Remember House? He's more of a bastard than House. So instantly, I love him. And here's the problem: all the other shows click in where you have episode one, then it follows episode two. I can't do that with this thing. Have you watched it?
I have not.
Okay, it's I don't get that, and I'm trying to remember. Oh, it's on Cinemax. It's on Cinemax on demand, and I haven't quite figured out how you get one to follow another one, because episode number two, all I get is it was recording last night. You know what? I'm going to ask someone else, because does anybody care about my problems? No. All right, this is what you get for doing a show where no one cares about your problems. I also have this issue with a rash right under my problem parts. All right, let's just move on. So it's not just the networks, or just CBS. They're all going to move that way. And it all started with Netflix, by the way. Do you know how many people now subscribe to Netflix? 50 million. All paying $8 a month for the streaming service. How much is that? $200 million a month? No, $400 million a month. Eight times five, you know, 50 million. How much does it cost? No, $8 a month times 50.
400, you're right.
$400 million. A month? You think you'd do all right with that one? What is that? $4.8 billion a year? That's pretty astounding. It is, and that's the way it's going. I live on internet television. Live for it. So it's moving that way, and we're looking at this. This is this week that these two organizations went HBO, and we're talking about their own networks. It's not just providers of content, which it started doing with HBO and the other big cables. So it's going to be fascinating. I just love this stuff, the way it's going. And then I'll figure out this thing with the Nick. Matter of fact, if you can email me, I'd appreciate this. This is a personal G. Email me. How do I get to watch the Nick without watching the recording where it records every day kind of thing? Because I just can't get it's nine episodes, and there it is, and I can't get the second one. I only got the first one. There's Petros, who is going to be coming in here. And we're not talking about the Knicks either. We're not talking about the basketball game. If you think it's the Knicks, it's not, Mr. Sportscast.
No, you just watch it on demand?
I do, but I can't see the second one on demand.
Oh, got it.
Why not?
Because it just showed that it was recording at the time.
That's not on demand.
It's not on demand.
But I press on demand. I go to on demand, and I click on demand, and then it gives me that.
We'll send somebody over.
Does anybody care?
First of all, I'm jealous that you're watching a show that Matt told you to watch.
Yeah, that's true.
Second of all, they already made this show, Drug Addict Doctor, but it's Nurse Jackie. It's just a drug
they
addict.
They also,
nurse.
How about House? Same thing.
Yeah, so.
Except this guy is this guy is a jerk of all time. You know what? We really have to get out of here and take a break.
How are we going to break if you don't have this figured out?
Someone's going to email me and help me figure it out. That's what's going to happen.
I hope so.
You can watch it on your iPad, too.
Yeah, just...
I know, I like it on the big screen. I'm sorry.
He already admitted he doesn't know how to use the iPad.
But if you
no, I have an iPad. I know how to use it.
You told Matt you didn't know how to use it.
So I made it up. I'm trying to sound like a dinosaur. Because Robin hates that. She hates it when I sound like I don't know how to use technology. And I do. But I enjoy jerking her around with
this. How old are the headphones you're wearing?
Oh, my God. 10? 15?
Take a break.
Oh, yeah, we have to take a break. We'll talk
you're
about
a dinosaur.
That. Exactly. All right, why no travel ban for Ebola? They're actually coming up with, if you come from East Africa or West Africa, no travel ban. And here's the administration doing what it does best, and that is horrible communication. This is KFI AM 640. KFI AM 640, Bill Handel, October 17th on a Friday. Yes, it is Friday. Everybody gets so excited about Friday because it's the end of the work week, except for me and many of us. Tomorrow morning, 6 to 11 o'clock, Handel on the Law. All right. An issue of Ebola, another spin, is the travel ban business, where a lot of folks are saying travel ban from West Africa. That's it. Just shut it down. No one comes in from West Africa. It's like what North Korea does with everybody in the world. No one goes in. That's it. So during a House subcommittee hearing yesterday, the director of the CDC, Tom Frieden, outlined how his agency is responding to the threat of Ebola and not the ban. What he did is emphasize the need to stop the virus at the source. Can't do both, of course, right? Now, concerns have been testified big time after the two nurses who cared for the dying Liberian patient contracted the virus. See, if Duncan was not allowed to fly into the United States, the nurses wouldn't have contracted Ebola because he couldn't come into the United States. Now, clearly, at that time, I don't think anybody is arguing that he shouldn't have come in at that point. We should have had the ban at that point. Okay, I get that. That was sort of a first impression case. But now, Frieden answered when he was questioned about whether a travel ban is an option.
Even if we tried to close the border, it wouldn't work.
Now, that's very interesting because you're right. Even if we tried, it's a porous border, right? To some extent. However, that's the same argument is because the border between Mexico and the United States doesn't work and people get through, do you now say, well, since people are getting through, we shouldn't have it, huh? He insisted that a ban would prompt travelers to sneak into the country. Really? So instead of flying in from West Africa, they're going to walk across the border. But how do they get here? Do they listen to the Jesus show and walk across the Atlantic? Sure, why not? He also said it would make it more difficult to keep tabs on people who become sick. Hey, if they're not coming to the United States, it don't matter if they're sick. And he feared a larger outbreak of the disease in Africa, which could pose long-term problems for the U.S. health system. Now, that's a stretch. He said that a ban like this could harm efforts to bring aid to West Africa. That's a stretch. Why? Well, because, as he said earlier, if you can't get back, then what ends up happening, who's going to go there? And without just tons of USA going in, we're talking about epidemiologists, infectious disease experts, support staff, logistic folks setting up field hospitals, that sort of thing, then those people wouldn't be able to come back. Really? How about what you do with your dog? When you're bringing it into the country, you quarantine the dog. So you build and how hard is this? At the airport, a system where people don't leave until they have been cleared of the quarantine. Now, does that mean special aircraft? Probably. Does that mean chartered aircraft? Sure. Well, that certainly beats Ebola. You would think, although I have to tell you, if it's my tax dollars versus you getting Ebola, and I don't have a chance of getting Ebola, you know, that's what I argue. There are two sides to this story. There really are. All right, and then what the White House is doing, coming back. I love what the White House does or doesn't do, like communicate and make sense half the time. And we'll be back with that. In the meantime, Hoffman, what do you have? And this is KFI AM 640, Bill Handel and the Morning Crew, Friday, October 17th. All right, we're talking a little bit more about Ebola. Really? Because it certainly isn't the biggest news out there. So one of the sidebar stories, matter of fact, it's not even a sidebar story, it's a huge part of the story, is the potential of a travel ban. And more people are jumping aboard the bus of a travel ban. Interesting concept, isn't it? And the White House is effectively saying no. They're behind the bus, not quite there. And White House spokesperson Josh Earnest was asked about the ban.
A travel ban is not something that we're currently considering.
And you wonder why, because everybody else is considering it, right? What he did is talk about the heightened screening in West Africa.
Currently, when individuals do travel from West Africa to the United States, they are screened prior to departure in West Africa. They are screened again once they enter this country, and they're subjected to heightened screening if they have traveled in these three West African countries in the last 3 weeks.
Now, that gets interesting when you talk about the screening, because let's look at the timeline of Ebola. You have Ebola in your system, hypothetically, and you go to the airport and you are screened, right? Since it can take 20 up to 21 days to become symptomatic, to start the symptoms, you're clean. And then you're tested again on this side of the pond. You're clean. And then you start walking around, and the Ebola virus kicks in within 3 weeks, and now you're Ebolaizing yourself around town. Is that the verb work, Hoffman?
Sure.
To Ebolize?
I think you pronounce it Ebolize.
Okay, Ebolize is good. So the White House, at this point, firmly believes that halting travel from afflicted countries will do more harm than good.
The only way we can completely eliminate risk of the Ebola virus to the American public is stopping the outbreak at its source. We need to make sure that we're surging supplies and equipment and personnel to the region, not putting in place a travel ban that would only restrict the movement of those materials that are critical to the effort to stem the outbreak at the source.
Now, I think a travel ban is people coming back. Is it a problem with people going there? And I don't know what the plan is, but I'm just being logical. I mean, clearly I'm not part of the conversation. I'm just like you. We're just sitting around water cooler. Not that we have a water cooler here. Actually, we do, but it's in my office because they're too cheap to put one here. But then again, that's iHeartMedia. Oh, no, there's a water cooler there.
In the kitchen.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's way, way down the hall, so I'm not interested. In any case, so I'm just trying to be somewhat logical. And here, why wouldn't the travel ban kick with people coming back? And when he says we can only stop it at the source, well, that may be true, but how about nobody come here and no one coming here until it's stopped at the source? How long do you think it's going to take? What, 3 hours? And Congressman Tim Murphy pointed out how tremendously faulty that these screening systems have been so far. He's right. He said screening and self-reporting at airports have been a demonstrated failure. I don't know about that, because how many people actually have Ebola in the United States? What, a big four? Now, Thomas Eric Duncan, the guy who died, remember that, Liberia to Texas, was screened at the airport. However, it was discovered that he didn't tell the screeners. That's the other thing. You just lie. I haven't been there. Now, theoretically, you have a passport that shows an exit stamp, and you have a ticket, but isn't that easier than going over there and stopping it at the source? I mean, which has to be done anyway. So, at this point, Obama is opposed to a travel ban. Instead, he is considering appointing an Ebola czar to coordinate the fight against the virus here. You can't do both, right? You have a czar that oversees everything, and you have a ban as part of the fight against Ebola, or the potential of Ebola coming here in the United States. Now, the czar, very interesting time to talk about the czar, because today happens to be the anniversary of the Russian Revolution. Back in 1917, in which the Tsar was overthrown. How's that for a little historical connection that no one cares about except me? So he's authorized sending military reservists to fight the virus in West Africa, so I guess no ban makes it fairly easy. And he said the experts have told him that a flat-out travel ban is not the way to go because current screening measures at airports are working. How does he know that? See, we don't know that it's working. We'll never know whether it's working or not, because if people are, well, let me put it this way. I'll tell you when we know it's not working, is when people come in from West Africa and in numbers are bringing Ebola in. So far, we're lucky. Jamaica announced an immediate travel ban yesterday. Guyana in South Africa, in South America, has denied entry from 4 West African nations that have been hit with Ebola. The U.S., the FAA has said the U.S. government is assessing whether to issue a travel ban on a day-to-day basis. So what the president said, he is now open to it, maybe, kind of. And it's, you know, I got to tell you, this president is not doing well. And God forbid that Ebola starts here in any kind of numbers based on a series of Mr. Duncans who have been screened and have gone through the screening. See, if there's a ban, no one's coming. Or if anybody is coming, let's say 99% would be stopped to have Ebola. Now, as we heard, the administration said, but they could still sneak in. Well, who is going to sneak in from West Africa who has been exposed to Ebola? I guess someone wants to come here illegally. But those people are going to try to come here illegally. How many West Africans sneak across the border, by the way? Through Mexico? Right. Petros is giving me the big zero. All right. Well, this story isn't going away. I'll tell you, the only thing that's not going to go away at all is the way the Obama administration is screwing the pooch on this one, as they have with so many other parts of what's going on in terms of its governmental ability to, well, it's communication. But they're beyond communication now. Now this is general, just a genuine screw-up, a screw-the-pooch issue, at least in my opinion. All right, coming up, let's change gears a little bit. Leo Laporte, and we're going to do a tech segment with Leo as soon as we return. Hoffman,
KFI AM 640 handle, and the morning crew, and Leo Laporte today, as always. Leo, good morning.
Good morning, Bill.
All right, the other day I was looking at the Internet, which I do, and I was going to do a story about Jennifer Lawrence and her naked pictures. So I had to look at Jennifer Lawrence and her naked pictures. A couple things about Jennifer Lawrence is she is an absolute fox, and she is not big on pubic hair. So with that being said, she is going crazy about the fact that the Google, YouTube would publish those photos and saying it's actually a crime. She wants to make
a sex crime.
Yeah, a sex crime.
It is. Everybody agrees it's a crime. It's hacking. She says it's a sex crime.
Yeah,
and come on. I don't disagree with her, frankly.
See, I do. I mean, what is she doing? What is anybody doing in today's age doing anything with naked pictures or compromising position pictures and sending it anywhere, any place? I said this morning, Polaroid photos. That's it. And if you're going to have your boyfriend look at them, you physically hold the corner of the photo and you don't let go and go, hey, look at this. This is for you.
You're showing your age, Bill. You can't buy a Polaroid.
I know, but I can't think of anything else.
No. Of course, you everybody's can't,
you,
taking
listen,
naked
I thought you
selfies.
Actually could buy a Polaroid camera out there with film. Is anybody making Polaroid film anymore?
There is a company, not Polaroid, that claims it's making Polaroid film. It's very expensive. You can't get a Polaroid camera except obviously used or on eBay. You'd have to work hard at it. And why? Because you've got a great camera in your phone. It's easy to take nude selfies. Here's the key, and everybody's, and by the way, Bill, even you, I know, are taking nude selfies. Everybody is.
No, I've only taken nude selfies of you, and that wasn't a selfie. Leo, I do not take nude selfies. I put nothing out there that would get me
but
into
trouble. But
you
can't blame them for being hacked. That's like saying, no, oh, you wore a miniskirt.
No,
so
I get that. I understand
that. It's not appropriate.
But I'm blaming them for not thinking they are going to get hacked or thinking they might not get hacked.
So here's
the problem.
Here's the message for everybody. And I'm sure Jennifer Lawrence is getting this counsel from her tech guru as well. Take the pictures, but make sure you don't put them anywhere public. And the Internet, by the way, and I've said this for years, is public.
So how do you send them when you say don't make it public?
Don't send them. That's
so what do you
idea.
Do if you want, in her case, she had a boyfriend across the country and in an insane statement of utter stupidity, she said if he has a choice, either looking at pictures of me naked or watching porn. Excuse me, why not both? You think that's not going to stop him from doing both?
Look, it's anybody's right to take naked pictures of themselves, to share it with whomever they wish. It's our body, and it's fine. It is not anybody's right to steal those pictures and then
Absolutely.
Display them publicly. It's wrong. It is a crime. We can argue about whether it's a sex crime, but it's definitely a crime. It's a horrific crime. And if you're going to do that kind of thing, you need to start learning about something called encryption. Encryption would, you know, look at this. This is also the same topic with the NSA spying on us. You know, anything you put out on the internet can be seen not just by the good guys, but by bad guys and by, frankly, the law enforcement. So if you want to protect your privacy, you can email stuff, but you need to encrypt it first.
Here's my problem, and I don't want to defend these guys that do it. What I'm trying to do is knock Jennifer Lawrence and others for not assuming that it is going to be done. For example, every bank out there assumes that it's going to get hacked.
Yeah, and
every
in fact,
company
that
now
protected them from getting hacked. Look at J.P. Morgan Chase, which just got hacked for 75 million accounts.
But and they can't defend themselves.
By the way, they weren't going to tell anybody, but they were forced to by regulations.
Isn't that special?
It happens all the time. I've talked to people in the Secret Services. If banks get hacked all the time, they don't want to tell you about it because they don't want you to lose confidence. They just cover the losses and move on. It is possible, though. The problem is Jennifer Lawrence and most movie stars are not – they're normal people with really great bodies, but they're normal people, and they don't have any technical savvy. And so why should we – I mean, I don't –
Because you have to make that – no, you have to make the assumption. If you're a public –
She has a personal assistant. She has a
bodyguard.
Yeah,
I know he does.
She
but for
driver,
example,
she
can't.
She should have a tech guy.
And she does not. For example, she can't go to a restaurant, Leo, and not expect the paparazzi there.
Right.
She can't. So she cannot send anything on the internet and not expect some hacker is going to try or group trying to get into her information.
Just like a bank, she should expect she's a target.
That's exactly my point. That's exactly
Bill,
my point.
You're a target. I don't know anybody wants to see your naked pictures.
Yes, they
but
do.
But there's other things they may want to see, and you're a target.
Yeah, and
so
here's what I do. Here's what I do.
Yourself.
I do the same thing. It's not even a question of technology. I do the same thing, and I'm assuming you do the same thing at work. And that is, and I tell my staff, there is not a phone call, a letter, a reply that you make that you do not ask yourself, how will this look in front of a jury?
That's appropriate.
And the same thing
that's
with
the lawyer
any,
you're talking. Yeah.
Right, but any photo that is taken, and I do that whenever I take photos, how is this going to look like on the internet? You will not see naked pictures of me, although I do have one great Instagram of me of me in the shower, but it's only cleavage and a butt, okay? No, it's true. It's at Bill Handel's show. Leo, you'll get a kick out of that one.
I can't.
And I am in the shower.
But by the way, that's a good defense is just to say, well, look at me. I got nothing to hide. Then nobody tries to hack you.
They do or they don't. But Jennifer Lawrence, and I love – and she – good to her credit. She was going to apologize to her fans, and then she said, wait a minute. I have nothing to apologize for.
She doesn't. She's doing what every young person is doing today. It's not abnormal. By the way, though, I have to say she needs a tech guy because she went to Vanity Fair to say it's a sex crime, not understanding that, in fact, Vanity Fair is owned by the same company that owns Reddit, where most of these photos were first published.
Fabulous. I'm sure she didn't know that.
I'm sure she didn't know that.
Yeah. By the way, did you look at her photos?
Yeah.
Of course you did.
I feel really guilty about that, and I threw them away immediately. I feel
really Are you talking about the frame ones on your office wall, those you threw away?
Yeah.
Okay.
I put them in the trash.
Leo.
Shredded them so no one else could see.
Leo, we'll talk next week.
Thank you, Bill.
Have a good one. This is KFI AM 640.